Blog Talk Radio.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend.
Good morning and welcome to the A New Day Show. I am so excited about this, both segments today, because we have two of the most amazing lineup of guests for you. So I want to just show you some gratitude and appreciation for joining me this morning. And as usual, I am broadcasting out of New Milford, Connecticut, where it is a gorgeous, sunny winter morning. It is just amazing the type of weather we are experiencing here. And of course, being in the Northeast, I am so happy that we have no snow. And I just love it that way. You are listening to Dynamic Daphne, the Queen of the Empowered Soul, and I am so fortunate to be your host for the next 2 hours. I want to encourage you to please grab your pens and writing paper, because you will be taking a lot of notes, because I'm sure when you listen to the two people I have on today, when you listen to their stories, you'll be getting a lot of nuggets that you can use and apply to your life. So we want you to get your water, get your pen and paper, because we really don't want you running back and forth. The other thing I want to point out to you is that the chat room will be up and running. And I want to remind you, call in whenever you have a desire to. If you have a question or a comment or a remark, or even if you get an aha moment based on something that one of my guests mentioned, we want you to take that opportunity and call in. The number to call in is 646-915-8166. Again, the number is 646-915-8166. I also want to mention to you that coming up May the 6th through the 9th, we will be hosting a vision conference, a vision weekend conference, and that will be taking place at the Heritage Hotel Golf Spa and Conference Center here in Connecticut in Southbury. And for those of you who are in the chat room, you'll see I put the link there. But for those of you who are listening via the telephone or over the internet, you can just go to event, E-V-E-N-T, bright, B-R-I-T-E .com, and look up for the Vision Conference weekend, and rush and get there, because early bird registration closed out on the 14th of February. Hey, that's Valentine's Day. I forgot about that. So I want you to rush there, get your registration. We have exhibitors opportunity. We have vendors opportunity. We are going to be having live radio show on site. So all the sponsors and exhibitors, you will be hearing from them pre the conference, and you'll be hearing from them live from the conference site as well. So we are setting up. We had set you up a couple of weeks ago. We positioned you for a relaunch in 2010, and we want to hold you accountable for that launch and to make sure that next year, 2011, we will have some amazing stories to share. So I look forward to having you all there at the conference on May the 6th through the 9th. Okay, and I know we have one of our guests on, and I just want to welcome her. Jen, good morning, and how are you today?
Good morning, Daphne, and good morning to the listeners. And I have to tell you, I'm in Rochester, New York, and today there is snow on the ground, but I hear your voice, and it melts it all away.
Okay, thank you so much. You can keep that snow up in Rochester. You know, I have another girlfriend up in that area, Jennifer, and I always tell her, girl, you can keep Buffalo, you know. But it's all good. It's all good. At least we are here to experience whatever weather we are dealing with this morning, because a lot of people did not get that opportunity this morning. So it's a blessing for us to be here alive or awake, energized, and just excited about the weather we have. And we love it, and we embrace it. So I'm so happy that we are going into conversation. I also want to welcome the people in the chat room, and as well, my second guest is in the virtual green room listening to you as well, Jennifer, and I hope that you'll get an opportunity to listen to him later. And he's none other than John William Hansen, and he is out of Canada. So we are kind of going from one. Well, Canada is kind of close to you up in Rochester, right?
I think we're heading north.
Okay, see, I don't even know my geography. What do I know?
Yeah. No.
So, okay, so I'm excited this morning. I know for the past 2 weeks, you and I, we've been looking forward to this opportunity to get into conversation. And I need to let the listeners know that we are new friends. And we met maybe about 2.5-3 weeks ago via LinkedIn. And we talk, and I think that this meeting was bigger than you and I. It was it was just a divine introduction that the Lord has made between us. And I think we are kindred spirits. So I'm excited to have you as part of my life. So with that being said, welcome to the A New Day Show. And I know this will be the first of many appearances here, Jennifer. And for those of you who read about Jennifer, you know all the amazing work she's doing, not only up in Rochester, but globally. And you go back there on the website, there's everything there on the blog, but I am not going to be going into reading her bio. It speaks for itself. It is there for you to really read it and meditate on it after we finish with the conversation today, and whenever you choose to go back and listen and read that. But I want to start off, Jennifer, by asking you if you would please, before we get into the task at hand today, and we're going to be speaking about the soul of bears, and let us tell the listeners a little bit about who Jennifer Sertl is and a bit of her life story.
Well, I appreciate the question, and I look forward to sharing it only because I think that my life story is a story that many of you in the audience have had, and I hope that I can articulate things to create new meaning. And I'll share by my mother's schizophrenic, and I, as an adult woman, chose to go into business, and I actually ran CEO roundtables for executives and primarily for male executives. And as an adult, I think that I felt safe in an environment where intelligence was required. And as I emerged into who I am right now, I realized that most of what makes me effective was something that I learned from my mother, who's schizophrenic. And so I'd like to just share a little bit about that insight. When I was 8 years old, my mother was hospitalized a great deal. And to spend my weekends, I would just be at the hospital with her and meet some of the other patients. But I didn't really experience them as patients. I experienced them as other people who I spent my Saturdays with. I'd drink chocolate milk. I'd play ping pong. I'd be in these amazing conversations. And as an 8-year old, it was really easy to be in character with other people without feeling shame. And so one of the things I learned, and I remember contemplating consciousness as an 8-year-old, is that, wow, people's reality is inside their head, not outside their world. And it really made it easy for me as I grew up in business to really suspend my own belief system and connect with people and jump into their world. And, you know, I was unconscious knowing that that's how I was effective. But as I, you know, as I grew up and thought about how was I able to be so successful, it was really because of the brilliance of that experience for me. And so what I talk about now, I'm on the board of the Mental Health Association, and I do a lot around corporate brilliance and mental wellness, is the idea that every one of us has a story of how we coped or survived.
Yes.
And the trick is really how to turn that into why you're effective today. And so I hope that's okay, but I felt that's the most important thing I want you to know.
Exactly. Because, you know, Jennifer, you and I are so aware that there are so many people out there who are focusing on copying other people, and their brilliance is inside of them. And we are all so unique. As you so eloquently mentioned, we all have a story. We don't need to go searching. All we need to do is focus on our story. Because no one will ever be able to tell your story like you tell your story.
Yeah, so for the people that have pens and paper, I think that my assignment for you is to write down the 7 to 10 most valuable lessons your life to date has taught you. There's wisdom, and I want you to be able to capture that wisdom in 7 statements.
Powerful. Powerful. See, I was right. I told you all to get your pens and paper. Oh, I'm telling you, Jennifer, I mean, you are just a phenomenal, phenomenal woman because, you know, there are so many people who run away from their stories. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, there are no mistakes in life. There are lessons learned. It depends on whether or not we want to spend the time to dissect that issue.
Right.
And list the lessons. And we keep chasing our shadows because we will not invest the time to find the lessons.
Yeah, I think that's so wonderful. And I just like, you know, one of my clients came from a very abusive environment, and she's amazing at scenario planning. And so I would hire her simply because what she's escaped will certainly let her help me figure out how to solve my business problems. And so I just want to make, you know, an example like that. They don't have to be that dramatic, but
she's
brilliant at scenario planning. She's had a lifetime of learning on how to scenario plan. How do I survive this?
Exactly. You know, I am just grinning. I have a big old grin on my face now because I remember you said that, and I remember when I worked at the Danbury Children First. And when I would have conversation with stay-at-home moms, whose kids were kind of growing up now, and they had a few hours where they could probably start a little entrepreneurial business for themselves. And they would say, oh, no, I'm only a stay-at-home mom. I said, stop. You have been doing event planning. You have been doing time management. You have been doing all of that. And I said, let's create a resume. Because all of those, especially if you have more than two kids, there are so many skills that you have acquired. Conflict resolution, everything. And the mothers stay and they just look at it as, oh, little poor me, poor little me at home doing nothing. And they have all these skills that they can harness and make a career out of it. So I want to welcome the people in the chat room. My colleague D.A. Williams is in the chat room out of Ohio. I want to thank you for joining, and for John being in the chat room. Thank you for coming early and hanging with us. So, the soul of biz. Let us delve into what that is all about, Jennifer. How did this this curriculum came about? Excuse me.
Yeah, well, so it's been an evolution, but I have been writing and lecturing about what I call strategy, leadership, and the soul. Mm-hmm. And essentially, I work with businesses that have 10 to 60 employees and work on alignment. And I'll give a real concrete example, and then I'll let you help me make it relevant to your audience, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's one client makes glass, high-end fabricated glass that's on the Mars rover.
Mm-hmm.
And they promise to the marketplace adaptability, know-how, and skill.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that they can keep that promise is that the employees and the internal execution mm-hmm. really models adaptability, know-how, and skill. It's the promise to the marketplace is to the customer as the culture is to the employee.
Mm-hmm.
And this evolved even before social media and all these other amazing aspects. When I studied corporate alignment, one of the things I started to do is follow a wonderful gentleman named Dr. Bruce Lipton that mm-hmm. studies biology. And what we found in the research that he did was that cells have the ability to clone themselves, but they also have the ability to respond to the central nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
He also found that healthy cells put into an unhealthy culture would become unhealthy regardless of the strength or vitality of the cell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, there's not much in the physical world that doesn't mirror in the conceptual world. And so mm-hmm. if it's true in cells in our bodies, it's mm-hmm. probably true in corporate culture. And mm-hmm. it took me on this path to really find out how do people experience brand behaviorally. And then ultimately it took me to the fact that there is a soul to business. There is a belief system embodied in the business that determines the execution and the delivery of the market promise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would call the soul of business.
Amazing. And I want to point something out to my listeners. When Jennifer mentioned about corporate America, I don't want you to put your pad down and say, oh, no, what she's talking about is for corporate people. It's for you because you're an entrepreneur and you need this information so you can grow your business beginning 2010. You won't have to be blaming the government. You won't have to blame that R word anymore because we are here giving you the tools in order for you to excel and catapult. And because, Jennifer, what I hear you say then, the soul of business, and when each of us as entrepreneurs talk about our brand,
mm-hmm.
we need to have extreme clarity on the soul of that brand. Yes? No?
Yeah. I mean, in fact, through the phone, I'm a visual person, so I'd like mm-hmm. everyone to imagine that beautiful image of a drop of water dropping into a pond, and you can see the ripples come in concentric circles outside.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that I have for you is that every interaction that you have creates a wake.
Mm-hmm.
How can you name that wake like someone has three DNA strands? So I started, this is new for me, was in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I started judging myself by wisdom, grace, and impact. And so if I would have a, you know, sales call, or if, in fact, I had an event with my children, when I would write in my journal, I would say, you know, where was I wise, where was I impact, where was I graceful? You know, I love CSI and all these wonderful movies where they can actually take the DNA of someone 20, 30, 40 years ago and find out actually where the DNA came from and who the potential murderer was.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to, so on the offensive end is that the idea that every interaction that I leave leaves an imprint. And so my invitation to you is to be very specific about three distinct things, attributes or values, that you desire to leave behind as clear as you would leave your thumbprint. Okay?
Wow.
So I'm really clear. I'm not always wise. I'm not always graceful. And I'm not always impactful.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about how I want to leave an imprint, I benchmark myself against my desire to be those things. And so even if you're a sole proprietor, as a mother, you decide what three things you most respect and ask yourself, how can I be these more, or where have I been these today? That would be the soul of your business.
Yes, and it is also, from where I'm sitting as a student listening to you, Professor, is that it is also the soul of the legacy I am creating for when I'm no longer here.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
This is amazing. I'm so thankful for God for putting you in my path. This is powerful here. This is powerful. So now for us students, where do we start to identify the soul of our business?
Mm-hmm.
The soul of the thumbprint we want to make, the soul of our brand, the soul of our legacy. For me, those are my words. But you are the teacher. You tell me, where do we begin?
Yes. Well, so for me, it's actually uncomfortable. I am peer-to-peer with everyone in the audience in that I'm just sharing with you how I've learned and how
mm-hmm.
I've really used to let my body and my life story be useful.
Yes.
But I appreciate the opportunity, but I am too a student.
Yes.
And this will evolve as our relationship evolves, as I get greater insight and also learn from you. So I appreciate that. It makes me a little uncomfortable just because of my respect for my need of the learning that life has to offer.
Yes.
Okay. You know, obviously it's a process. So everyone here, if you can just make a commitment to write in your journal at least once a week. And you can write about the weather. You can write about anything you want, but write once a week. If you really like this idea and you have insight onto what your three might be, then start asking yourself, where this week have I been? Boom, boom, boom. You know, for some of you, it might be innovative. For some of it might be courageous. For some of you, it might be insightful. For others of you, it might be efficient. You know, I'm not going to tell you what they should be.
It's,
and so if you have them, begin the practice of once a week mm-hmm. saying, where have I been and where can I be more so?
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that are really like, I haven't a clue, there's something that I'd like to invite you to do. And what I call it is three distinct levels of people. The first level is what I call Elite 18. Elite 18s are people that, at a global scale, meaning any person on the planet, 18 people that you admire or envy, okay? So these can be aspirational people, people that you don't expect to meet in your lifetime, but when you see them on a program or you hear their voice singing, they do something to you.
Mm.
The reason I say envy is that if, in fact, we experience inside of us envy or jealousy, it's a really good indication that that person is exhibiting a quality that you have but haven't realized yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, because people are mirrors to us, that's all they really are, is that the idea of thinking of people that you admire, respect, or envy, if you can get them in front of you and get them all, you know, just now you can Google people and put them on one page and call them your elite 18s, there's probably some themes that will emerge about qualities that these people might have in common. And you will begin to get some patterns. Does this make sense, or can I answer any
yes.
questions?
Yes, that makes sense. I'm writing in the chat room now and encourage the people to ask questions.
So I almost feel like I should stop now.
Okay.
And answer any questions that come up.
All right. So let me ask whether or not anybody have any questions from here. Okay. And also, if you are listening, please call in 646-915-8166. I don't multitask too well, Jen, so give me a little time here. Okay? All right. Now, you have been using this program, and I'm calling it program because, or maybe system. What's the right terminology?
I say it's the personal branding program.
Okay. All right. You have been using this personal branding program since 2008, you said, right?
Correct.
What have been some of the feedbacks that you have gotten from clients that you have worked with, you know, or individual? I know you mentioned about corporate and all of that,
I don't want anyone to think that I'm, you know, I care deeply about every individual owning their life story and letting it serve them in a way that creates ripples that you can be proud of as your legacy.
Right.
Okay, so certainly, you know, taking people through a process is helpful when you can observe the process and observe the resistance. Okay, my experience has been that people underestimate the themes that emerge because it's so simple for them, they don't give it merit. So when I look at someone's list of elite 18s and see things that I think they have in common and I tell them, their first reaction is that enough?
Mm-hmm.
And it is a true reaction, and it blows my mind that people, very accomplished people, would underestimate the value of what comes absolutely naturally to them.
Exactly. You know, Jen, you mentioned this, and it reminds me of an activity that I do with coaching clients when I meet them for the first time. Because I don't know whether it's because people are trying to be modest or what, but even people who are extremely academically qualified and come with all the different labels and all of that great stuff, they find it very challenging to list their skills and talents. You know, the things that they whole degree in, it's fine. That's no problem. They will say, oh, I have a degree in XYZ. Mm-hmm. But when you ask them to start peeling the onion back, but tell me, who are you? Because we are not our careers. We are not our degrees. Tell me, who are you? And they puzzle with that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I listen to what you mentioned here about, you know, working with the lead 18 and that, when you look into people that you admire or envy, if you start peeling the onion back where there's concern, there is something in them that you oftentimes wish you have. And if you admire them, then you pursue to get them to mentor you, whether personally or from a distance. Or if you envy them, you're probably thinking, oh, I will never get there. But I would rather strive at getting them to mentor me to acquire or to allow that skill or talent within me or that strength to evolve?
Yeah, well, there are certainly many, many uses with the Elite 18, but I will share. Benjamin Zander is the conductor of the Boston Philharmonic, and he, if anybody on this call, if you Google him or have an opportunity to listen to him speak, he wrote a book called The Art of Possibility. But I, as a professional speaker, I always do these things from 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being ultimate. I do these little games in my head, and so I have this thing where, you know, I would put myself at around a 6, and I would put Benjamin Zander at a 10. Mm-hmm. I have a picture of him on my Elite 18 board. I have a picture of him on the upper flap of my driver's side of my vehicle. And when I'm presenting, and even as I'm on the call, I'm thinking, if he were here today, you know, how would he be informing me? How would he be encouraging me? How would he be evaluating me? And I'll tell you, certainly there are days where I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad I have not yet met Benjamin Zander, because today was not a day that I should. But, you know, other times I'm like, wow, you know what? I really believe today I was proud of how I was and my leadership and my articulation. And I really am proud today. And I think that he would be respectful of my work today. And there's something about the other that makes us actually, as a coach, I think, you know, anybody should be working with Daphne or a coach, because we tend to keep our commitments to other people at a higher level of reliability than we do to ourselves. And so even just having a picture of someone I've never met actually makes me more accountable to be more elegant.
Yes, because you strive, you know, I tend to look on those people and I keep asking, well, what value are they adding? And it's not that I'm competing with them. There's one person in my life that I admire so much, and it's Dr. Miles Monroe out of Nassau, Bahamas. And I had, you know, heard about him, basically. I never read his book or anything, and then I met him at a conference, and we spoke. And then now, not only can I admire him from a distance, but he's part of who I am. You know, we can talk on the phone, and I admire the work he's doing. We can brainstorm together on projects that I'm working on, and he can put his input in it. And he's not too big, for want of a better word, to accept my input and suggestion into whatever I may say. So, you know, we can all learn, because like earlier on when you said, Jennifer, that you too are a student, and every day we wake up, we ought to strive to learn something. Because the minute we stop learning, it's time that we should be making our exit.
Boy, I'll tell you, and I do not have my MBA, and I cannot tell you the number of people with MBAs that I speak with that say after meeting me, they realize they've forgotten how much they actually knew before they got their degree.
Exactly. Because,
I'm just saying that that it makes me sad when people feel that more formal learning makes them more learned, and that they would devalue what they actually know already.
And it's not, because, you know, a lot of time people say, oh, you have your degree, you don't put it on anything. And I said, my degree is not who I am. You have me, you know me. Get to know me. If you never know that I have a degree, would you still think that what I am doing is adding value to the human race? Because this is what God has called me to do. And even before I had acquired the degree, he was still working in me and through me, Jennifer. When I was in Jamaica walking barefooted down that trail with one pair of shoes on my feet, I still had a big old grin on my face and encouraging all the other kids that we were walking up that hill to go to the Carmel Moravian Church together. We were still being encouraged. I didn't know anything about the, being a coach until I came to America. And as I look back over my life, and talk to people who knew me way back when, even when I was in nursing school and everything. I remember 2 years ago I had my birthday party in Jamaica. And a lot of people I went to nursing school with, they were there with me. And we were kind of talking about over the time. And you know what they said to me, Jennifer? We are not at all surprised that you leave nursing to do what you're doing. Because at school, at nursing school, you were always the one encouraging us when we think we were not going to make it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what God has called us to do, it is always in front of us. If we would only pay attention and be obedient.
And I want to share with you, my husband is a wonderful man, and he is a competitive bass fisherman. Mm-hmm. And what I love is, you know, we'll come back from his tournaments, and we'll talk about, you know, how is bass fishing like running a company. And mm-hmm. one of the things that we've learned is that he'll actually place on lakes where he's never fished before, mm-hmm. and yet he won't necessarily always place on lakes where he grew up and is familiar with. Mm-hmm. We started talking about it, and one of the things that we came to is that when he has nothing but physics, meaning paying attention to water depth, weather patterns, and the nature of the fish, he has no expectation but to pay attention to the physics. When mm-hmm. he has past experience, he is thinking about the physics, but he's also, where were the fish, and what did mm-hmm. I do last time? And it actually impedes his brilliance rather than contributes to it. And I think that happens with us educated people.
That's
is
right.
That we go into situations and use our familiarity, but it, mm-hmm. it interrupts our ability to see what's really present.
That's right. That's right. I mean, Jennifer, what you just said now, we could have ended the show right on that note. Because each and every entrepreneur or small business owner can identify with that statement. Those who are on now and those who will listen later on can identify with that, because it is so true. And it applies to each and every one of us until we decide we want to make a difference. I want to just remind the listening audience to please call in. The telephone number is 646-915-8166. And I'm in conversation with Jennifer Sertl, and we're talking about the soul of biz. So please call in, and if you're in the chat room, take some time and call in to or type your questions. Again, you're listening to Jennifer Sertl out of Rochester, New York. So, yeah, going back to what you were saying, Jennifer, about using past experiences and, you know, which impede our progress. And sometimes I wonder whether it is because we are so comfortable with what we know and we are uncertain of what the future holds. What do you attribute that type of a behavior to?
Well, I think, you know, on some level, even though I think we have a higher purpose, at some level we really are animals. Mm. And I think that for survival, we, you know, our conscious brain gets about 40 pieces of information per second. Mm-hmm. Our unconscious brain gets 4 million pieces of information per second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that for survival reasons, and so that we don't become catatonic with information overload, we've created shortcuts to be able to navigate our daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the challenge is to, and the way I describe it for people is, I have a 12-year-old daughter, and it's very helpful for me to learn how can I communicate with her in a way that she can understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I have an illustration where there's a person playing soccer. And so if you can imagine, you know, a person in position to kick the ball, right above their head, you know, in our minds, we have chemicals. We have these amazing chemistry things going on. We have, you know, these stories, and we have fear, and we have, you know, a lot of information. And then there's the filter that is our conscious brain that filters that out, and then we're asked to kick the ball. The word decide is a beautiful word. The root of it actually comes from the Greek suicide, homicide, decide. All actually historically come from the same root, which means to kill. Mm-hmm. When you choose, you're actually killing all other possibilities, and that's actually where the root decide comes in. So when I, you know, so I have this soccer player about to kick the ball, and I have this, you know, big cloud above the person's head in this filter. And the challenge is that when most people design their filter, it was between the age of 5 and 7, mm-hmm. because that's the first time that you actually have the capacity to have language and create a story, I am.
Mm.
So, you know, you may link in, I am smart because, I am safe because, I'm lovable because, or whatever. So, mm-hmm. so just like ice in a glacier begins to melt, and where there's actually more melting, it creates these grooves.
Mm-hmm.
The way we consciously see reality actually begins to have a pattern like those types of grooves. And so for people, you know, so my immediate response to you is that I think it's wise and natural for us to make blink decisions, mm-hmm. and to navigate our reality based on what we see.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is, how do we train ourselves to let the past inform us, but not let the past rule us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a place for his skill in what he knows about fish from everywhere he's fished,
mm-hmm.
but he has to disassociate from that knowledge as he's beginning to fish in a new lake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's really the discipline of when to, what type of information can you call upon consciously?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some practices that you can do to let you kind of play around with that. But does that answer your question?
Yes, and no, yes, because it's what I really want out of this conversation is to broaden our outlook, because succeeding as an entrepreneur, it's not difficult, but it's because we do not know all the resources that is available to us. You know, there is so much. And look, the examples that you are using, your husband as a professional bass fisherman, you laid out, that's something that somebody can sit around their dining table and they can think about that. How can I apply a similar story in my life to what Jennifer said on that show? And it's not rocket scientists, Jennifer, so long as we pay attention. I must tell you, there is no question from the chat room. However, someone in the chat room says, I keep asking them in the chat room, Jennifer, do you have any questions? And this person says, I am very much enjoying the program and Jennifer's perspectives. So they are taking it all in.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, and here's the way to make it actionable. On your notepad, if you can, ask these questions. Most of us today or tomorrow will go into a new setting, either a meeting or an interaction. So what you can do with discipline is say, I'm going into this experience. Where can my history be helpful? Where might my experience hinder me?
Mm-hmm.
And simply the act of asking that question, and I tell people, you know, unfortunately, there's things that you kind of have to create into disciplines. So ask that question at least once a week,
mm-hmm.
and go back after the event and respond to, here is what I did experience was useful from my experience or my history. Here's where it actually wasn't useful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that you link in the question before the event, and then you reflect on your experience with those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the very act of having to write it down makes you more conscious. And that's what we're talking about.
All right. All right. Now I want to remind the callers, excuse me, the number is 646-915-8166. Oh, my heavens, where has the time gone? Jennifer, we only have 15 minutes remaining in this segment. And I want to let the listeners know that Jennifer will be one of the speakers at the Vision Conference. So you think this is something, you need to be at that conference so you can see her in real flesh and you will be able to interact with her in person and just to really absorb her teaching, so you can really make a difference in what you are looking to do with your business. And so we have 14 minutes, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Before I ask you to summarize our conversation, would you please tell the listening audience how they can get in touch with you in case they would like to utilize your services?
That's great, and I'm really committed to the conversation of, I call it corporate consciousness and consciousness, so I invite people certainly to call me, my cell phone, 585-704-5202, or my email is jennifer@agility3r.com, and, you know, again, on Twitter, Facebook, you know, all, you know, I think what I would like to do is let you be, you know, go to Daphne, and Daphne can connect you with really, really wonderful people.
Okay. Thank you. So let us summarize what we were discussing this morning. You mentioned about people should choose three areas that they want to focus on. And for each of us, we should choose what those areas are. For you, you concentrated on wisdom, grace, and impact, because those were the things you were looking to highlight in your life or to make allow to become more prominent in your life, right?
Yes.
Okay. You suggested that they should journal at least once a week. And they are really going to love you for that one, Jennifer, because I've been telling them, you got to journal every day, you got to journal every day. So, but that's all right. They got to start somewhere. We just want to make sure they journal, because once they start journaling, it is going to become a part of them and they will not going to want to stop. Would you summarize the... Is it the Elite 18?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, well, you know, if I think about a way to close, I think one is that my business is called Agility 3R.
Yes.
And the three R's are resilience, responsiveness, and reflection. Mm-hmm. It is my belief that individuals and companies that embody resilience, responsiveness, and reflection will have the ability to be adaptable regardless of what happens in technology, regardless of what happens in the macro environment. You know, from Darwin, it is adaptability that is allows people to evolve, not strength, not intelligence, not beauty. So I just want to leave with making sure that people understand Agility 3R, resilience, responsiveness, and reflection. Please take time to look at your life and to date, the seven most important learnings your life and life experiences have taught you that you can now carry forward as gifts. Very important, and more important than anything else I've had to say, that part, so important. The second is that really, as Daphne said, your legacy, you leave legacies behind. Claim them, name them. Three attributes that you most admire. And one way to get those is to think of Elite 18, 18 people at a global level, meaning anyone in the world that somehow in you commands respect, admiration, and or envy. Get them on a piece of paper in front of you. There's wisdom in looking at them as a collective that might give you insight into your core legacy or your core ripples or those three attributes. Then, the other thing is to find a way to practice looking at where is your experience useful or where is your experience in the way of presence. And finally, I know you're going to hear another wonderful speaker that's, really, I think that Daphne has a great way of finding really introspective people that do broaden horizons. So you're going to hear a lot of information. Every week, if you can just take one thing from either of the speakers or Daphne and write it down, one thing, and post it on your driver's side of your car to keep it with you all week long. The ability to transform has to do with subtle, consistent changes over time. And so, to me, to just take one thing and keep it visible until you hear the next show would be a really useful way for you to really be able to act on all the wisdom that you have been given and are continually being given. And that's all I got.
Oh, this is amazing. This is amazing, I want to encourage the listeners to reach out to Jennifer. I mentioned to you that she will also be at the Vision Weekend Conference, May the 6th through the 9th, here in Southbury at the Heritage Hotel. And, of course, it has golf and spa, heated pools, jacuzzi, everything. So you don't want to miss that conference. Jennifer will be there, and you'll have an opportunity to meet her in person and speak with her. So, Jennifer, I just want to thank you for investing in my listeners and my vision and my mission of changing our world by transforming one life at a time. You did that so eloquently this morning. You are indeed a true servant. And I am so blessed to call you sister, and I'm so blessed to have you as friend. I know that God has an amazing job set out for us to do, and I can't wait to see what he has in store for both of us. Just keep doing what you're doing, my sister.
And I can feel your smile, and I am warm. The snow is melting. And again, I really, really look forward to learning from your audience and your continued speakers. And I feel really blessed to have been a part of this. So thank you very much. And please, listeners, take action. Just one thing, make a difference through changing your behavior one step at a time. I'm a coach. I have to do that.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And Jennifer, you can join us. I don't know what your schedule for the rest of the morning is, but you can go into the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Daphne Clark Hudson. Daphne-Clark-Hudson. You can go in there, and you'll see all the activity, and you can get to interact with some of the, all of the people in the chat room. So just so you get a feel of that is, I thank you for blessing my airwaves this morning. And I know everyone is having a big old grin because this was an extremely powerful segment. And I know we will be talking later on. You have a blessed and prosperous and productive day, my sister.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, so that was Jennifer Sertle. And Jennifer was calling from Rochester, New York. And is she powerful or what? She has some great, 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 great information that can help us to really become successful. We have no reason why we ought not to be successful. So she invested in you this morning. I hope you will encourage someone who was not on the call to go back to the archives and listen. And for those of you who have not yet marked my show as a favorite, would you please help a sister out? Mark my show favorite so you know you will be frequently informed of who the experts are that are coming on my show each week. And leave me a little comment there. Everybody need a little pat on the back. Let me know what the show is doing for you, if it has done anything. So I want to go ahead and welcome John. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Daphne. How are you?
I am wonderful. And what is it doing in Canada this morning?
Well, I have to tell you, every day is a great day, of course, but it's starting to get a little bit colder with a little bit of snow, but we can't complain because, Daphne, over the last week and a half, seasonally or unseasonably warm with rain, so a lot of the snow that came during the Christmas and early January has melted away. But you know what? We're not freezing. The sun is out, and much like yourself, a bright day certainly is a good thing.
Exactly, and of course, as I said to Jen before, that we are here to experience the weather. There are a lot of people who did not get that opportunity. So I know you listened to the entire segment with Jennifer, and I thank you. I pray that you both can get to meet each other one of these days because you both are doing a phenomenal job. But wasn't she amazing?
Well, you know what? I thought that right from the start in terms of listening to her manner and what she had to say, great insights. And you know, I'll tell you, as much as you learn, the more you learn, the more you still realize you need to learn. And I think
That's right.
Highlighted that during the show. Is the moment
That's
you stop trying to learn is really the moment that you should plan your exit strategy, for lack
That's
of a better term.
That's right, because especially, John, we who serve other people, we are no longer learning. We are in no position to serve people. And that's what leaders, even entrepreneurs, because it doesn't matter whether we are doing a product or a service. What we are doing impacts other people's lives. And we need to be, you know, learning and investing in our intellectual capital so we can be beneficial to our clients and customers, sir. Oh, it's amazing talking to you, John, because I have to tell you, I don't know, but your wife's name is Jennifer too, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, because, you know, Jennifer started, I don't know whether it was last September or August or something, a conversation with myself about having you on the show, and we both dropped the ball, but then divinely, you and I connected, and here you are today. So tell her I still love her, and I hope she still loves me.
Well, you know what? She is doing very well, and I think I should probably add, in between the writing of my first book and the second book that was just released, we got some pleasant news, a great gift, that we are having our third child in December. So Jennifer is entering her second trimester. And it's supposed to be the easiest, although I can't think any period during pregnancy is easy.
Telling.
But she's doing very, very well. So I'll pass on your well wishes to her to be certain.
Yes, congratulations, and be sure to let her give birth on December the 11th. That's a very special day, John. I'm telling you, the baby has to come on December 11th. And I'll tell you at another time why that is so, but yes, let us just get into your story and some of the amazing things that you have accomplished on this journey called life.
Okay.
Let us start at the beginning. Tell the people who you are and how you started off and the journey that you're now on. And before we end, we'll get into the book you wrote and all of that.
Okay. Well, you know what's interesting, and I often refer to a song by John Lennon, is life is what happens while you make other plans. And I, of course, Daphne, had turned 50 last year. And
You are a baby.
Yes. Well, I thank you so much. I think, what is it, age is, what does that say, a matter of, or mind over matter, if you don't mind,
it doesn't matter. Oh, please. It's just a number, John.
That's right. Well, you know, I'll tell you, about 10 years ago, I had lived my life based on a certain amount of principles of work ethic. I was in the corporate world and had your mindset going in a particular direction, you know, type A personality, as they say. And I built a business up and sold it during the height of the dot-com boom for $12 million. And I thought, okay, the rest of my life, early 40s, is going to be retiring, perhaps opening up a little winery in California or Niagara on the Region area, which is another great area, beautiful. And I had my life planned. And to be quite frank, God had other plans for me, and he got my attention. Because ultimately what happened is within a relatively short period of time, a lot of it through circumstances associated with the infamous dot-com bust, I found myself literally penniless. It was all gone. And what was interesting throughout this journey is as you go through these things, you get to a crossroads, if you will, of saying, am I going to continue to fight for the way in which I'm thinking life should go? Or am I going to start relinquishing to my Creator's plan for me, be open to ideas and thoughts, because maybe there's a message in here. And so even though it was very difficult during the period of time, you know, as I began to release and start to look and say, okay, what's really happening here? What's going on? Help me see something here. I'd like to get out of this. I don't like the pressure points. I don't like losing my home and everything that I had put value on. But what happened in that process is I began to become open to new possibilities, possibilities that I never had even anticipated before, Daphne. And that's really where the starting point becomes, is that, you know, I was very much a charge-up-the-hill guy, run through brick walls, do whatever it takes, work the hours, you know, do what it takes to win. But I also understood something, is that you have to direct that energy in the proper direction. You have to focus on areas where your calling is, where your special gifts and special talents are. And up until, and it was interesting, you say, when does it all begin? Well, you know, for the first 40 years, somebody may go back and say, well, it's the day you're born and your early experiences, you're in your 20s and 30s. But my life really didn't begin until what at the time was the most devastating thing that could have ever happened. And one, by the way, ironically, Daphne, of which I was most fearful of. Because no matter how much I had accumulated, I always had this fear of not having enough. I always had a fear of going, and that propelled me. That was my impetus to drive me towards success. And it was a very uneasy alliance. On the other side of this, as I began to open up, opportunities presented themselves. And I started to write. And I'd never written really before, other than in terms of business terminology. And it started to lead me down new paths. And ironically, where I am today is just publishing my second book. Where I am today is I have a series of blogs, as well as the Blog Talk Radio Show, that now reaches in excess combined of more than 1.2 million people each month worldwide. Now, I would have never, ever thought of picking up a pen to write a book. I would have never thought of hosting a radio show, one of the books in which I've written about, because the only thing I'd ever hosted beforehand, as I kid everyone, is a couple of dinner parties, but hosting radio shows was foreign to me. But all of these things that happened would not have occurred, and the blessings that came from that would not have occurred if I hadn't lost it all. And I think that at that point, looking back in retrospect, that was the best thing that ever happened to me, because it pointed me in the direction of a new and more meaningful reality, and one of where the attitude was not, or the impetus was not fear-driven, but service-driven. What can I contribute? And that's really where my story comes in.
Right, because you know what, John, what just to summarize everything that you just said, too often we think that we are in charge, and the issue with stuff and gathering and accumulating stuff is that it is never enough. We have what we think is enough, or the world or society say, oh my God, that person accomplishes so much. But then to us, it's not enough, and we're still going after it. And a lot of times, people who are doing that, we are out of the will of God. And God just gets your attention. He got it, didn't he?
I'll tell you something big time. He got my attention big time. And, you know, I'm thankful for that. And as I began to surrender more and more to him, Daphne, greater things and greater accomplishments came about. And I discovered areas and capabilities that not only do I have an affinity for with what he's given me to do, but I actually have a greater peace and a greater joy in what I'm doing now. And by the way, I'm not eschewing the virtues of success or financial independence or all of those things. There's nothing wrong with those things. It's the matter of what is your focal point. And if those become your focal point, they're what you could call ephemeral. They're fleeting. Where faith in God and following His plan for your life, it's a sure foundation. So no matter what happens on the outside, what losses you may experience, if you have a tractor on a core foundation, you have that peace of knowing that you're going in a particular direction, and it's in line with what your calling is. And I think that's really the biggest message is what is your calling? How many people out there are doing their jobs or doing things that aren't in line with what they are or what they want to do, or they don't get passion from it, or they don't get enjoyment from it? And I think that's the whole intention of what we do and what our vocation is and what we have to contribute, is finding that sweet spot in life. Mm-hmm. The golfers out there, they'll understand the sweet spot, understand the sweet spot in life and then pursuing it and making yourself open to the possibilities of another reality, another alternative route.
You know, you are talking, John, and I immediately, it came to my thought that, you know, connecting and operating in our calling and purpose is like swimming. When you're learning to swim, you just got to let go and let gravity take place and let God do what He has to do in you naturally. The minute you are trying to control it yourself, you never balance and swim. You're always sinking. And I remember until now, I still am not a swimmer because I hate my hair getting wet unless I'm washing it. And I never let go. I'm always fighting the waves. So I still has not learned to swim. And all of a sudden, you're talking and I'm thinking, my God, it's like swimming. You know, you got to let go and let God. You are not in control. You just let your body go with whatever is to happen.
You know, that's so true. That's so true. And again, but it's also, taking it a step further, is it's responding to that prompting and that initiation of the call. Because we do have free will. We do have choices. And it was very easy. And you know, the turning point to me came one Friday morning when I had a knock on the door, and there was the sheriff at the door delivering papers to me saying I had 7 days to vacate my house, which was orchestrated by a indirect business partner. And they called the loan because the housing market dropped. And so, you know, I have a family and a house. And at that point, that was, I think, the crossover point, because that was the final vestige of holding on to what I had in the former life. And once I gave that up, it enabled me to focus on that. But you still have to have the initiative, and that's important to everybody. It's not just a free ride and, okay, I surrender all to God, and you know, He's going to take care of me. You have responsibilities to respond to His promise, to His direction. Yes. You know, how are you going to react to these particular situations day in and day out in life? At that point in time, you know, you come to a crossroads. You could go into the abyss and say, you know, my life is over. It's unfair. Why did this happen? How did it happen? All of these things. And that's a temptation that everybody faces. We all have those vulnerabilities.
That's right.
But
that's
there's
right.
the other alternative. The choice that you have is how you respond to these. And then when he prompted me to start writing, and, you know, and ironically, you know, it's interesting, but it isn't just all of a sudden, although things can happen in terms of God's plan for your life.
No, it's not microwaved. No. A lot of people are just where they are, sitting on the couches, because they are looking for microwave result. You know, I'm not going to call any names, but I know a couple of individuals. God gave them brilliant ideas, and they're still sitting waiting on God. And I oftentimes say, what does God need to do? Hit you in your head with a 3x4? You already have the idea. Start, because you are never going to get another piece of the puzzle until you start putting what you have together. And people just sit on the sideline waiting. And that's why a lot of people exit. You know, my good friend and mentor, Dr. Miles Monroe often says that the richest place on this earth is the graveyard, because there are a lot of skills and talents that is buried there. Books that people never wrote, music that has never been played, because they were sitting on the sidelines just waiting. So I just thank you, John, for saying that.
Well, and you know what's interesting, and I'm thinking of just what you're saying because it's so true, and it reminded me of a saying I had heard, is that somebody was asked, well, if God asked you to run through that brick wall, would you do it? And the individual responded by saying, my job would be to obey God and run through the brick wall. God's job would be to put the hole in the brick wall for me to go through.
To run That's right. Exactly. But you can't sit down there asking, why run through the brick wall? It's not for you to figure out. Just run. And all of a sudden, you're going to see an opening like a door. That is so powerful. So we heard about the journey that you took to where you are now. And we know that our families, society, and best friends, and good friends, and not so good friends, always want to have their 2 cents or quarter into what has happened to us. What were some of the arguments you heard from people who knew you and knew where you were back then?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what did they have to say to you?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, and the responses were very diverse. First of all, you know, there's the old saying, you know, when you hit the tough times, you know who your true friends are. During the height of my success, you know, the friends were unlimited. And, you know, you had certainly all the connections and contacts you needed. You lived a good life. And certainly, you know, I'd have to say an unrealistic life in terms of everyday common requirements. Those people disappeared very, very quickly, very rapidly. Now, on the other side of the coin, some people were just so overwhelmed by the snowball of adversity of things that can happen to you. You know, you start this whole chain of events where it erodes and erodes and erodes, and it's like compound interest. And they get to the stage where they don't know if they want to be around you because, you know, it's just what's next?
And,
you know, certainly, so where you find yourself is kind of in this not isolation, but in this void, if you will, of saying, okay, you know, everything that I had used as a support mechanism, a support network before, a lot of that's gone now.
That's right.
A lot of things that I put my faith in and my certainty in. It's gone. You know, I mean, you know, the financial relationships, the bankers, everything like this, it all goes away very quickly. And you know, it's interesting because what that did, and it's not insulting those other people or other individuals, because I certainly have no ill will or harbor towards anyone who what you could call would be a fair weather friend kind of scenario, because everybody has their own journeys and their own values.
Right. That's right.
You can't carry that with you. What's interesting is that I learned from this is, first and foremost, is where's the true foundation? Where's the true certainty of strength? Where's the true sustainability of things? And and that's where again, you go through this major shift or paradigm shift, as the buzzword goes, of what your belief system is based upon. And I think you have to go through that. So, you know, the 2 cents were not so much in terms of verbally, 2 cents, but so much as active or actions.
That's right.
And you know, it's literally it's like you have the plague,
and
nobody wants to come around.
Exactly. And you know something, John? What you just said here is the story of each and every entrepreneur, because people were there for you when you were in maybe a corporate job or something. You could take them to the ball game. You could take them to see a play. You could take the family out for dinner. And the list goes on and on and on. And you decide, no, you're going to become an entrepreneur. And sometimes they're a family member too. Some people, it's not that you were shoved into becoming an entrepreneur, but you just decide you want a break. And the people who you think were going to be there to support you, they are no longer there. But I tell people all the time, stick it out. You continue on that journey, especially if you are someone who is new into connecting with your calling and purpose. The one thing I tell people, get a clear understanding that your journey is for you to travel. No one else has to travel it with you. It's good if you travel and you find people who hand you a cup of lemonade while you're on the journey because they know you are thirsty. Or somebody come by and they stop and they say, well, let me give you a ride because you've been walking a long time. But don't sit and wait for an entitlement from them that they should do this or they should do that. But the one thing I tell you is that when you pass through the rough edges, over the rough edges, they are going to be there supporting you, applauding you, and telling you, I always know you could. So don't let people discourage you. Yes.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, you know, Jennifer has been a wonderful support throughout all of this. You know, because we had a rapport, we could talk. And what was ironic is when you're faced with the truth, you know, they call it the 3 a.m. in the middle of the night when, mm-hmm. you know, you have that time where you're just alone in the world. You know, when you have somebody with whom you can communicate honestly, it doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to be easy, Daphne. It doesn't mean you're not going to have your down periods. But the key is you don't look towards other people for your strength and guidance. God puts
That's
people
right.
in your place to give you that drink of lemonade that you talked about. Because ultimately, even the most well-intentioned individuals can only speak from their own limited scope of understanding
That's
and
right.
experience. Now, that doesn't mean you don't seek advice. That doesn't mean you don't seek input. But realistically speaking, you can't live a life on the sidelines waiting for somebody to approve what you're doing or to give you the go-ahead or to say it's the right thing. Mm-hmm. You have to find that harmony, if you will, of again, what is your calling and what is the realistic responsibility that you have. And and this is an important thing to stress. It doesn't mean that the journey is going to be easy. And that's something I think a lot of places go off track is, you know, there's a lot of talk about, the abundancy theory and life theory and all of these things. Most certainly, you know, God put us on this earth to be successful.
That's
but there's
right.
core principles that are involved. There's key premises that are involved in that and responsibilities that you have. And that doesn't always mean that the journey is going to be easy. And some
That's
people
right.
will look at it and say, well, if I'm in line with where I'm supposed to be going, why am I running into these obstacles? What's happening? Well, instead of looking at these obstacles as being a deterrent, look at them as being a teacher and a guidance. And if you look at them through the way, view them through a positive light, Daphne, then what you end up with is building upon them. And
That's
your
right,
failure,
because they help to build character and credibility, and perseverance helps to build strength. Because if it comes easy, it's going to go easy too. Because depending on the distance of the journey, we have to build some durability. It's like exercising. If you look on people, for people who are doing muscle building, you look on them and you see the longer they are building, the heavier the weights are. They don't start off with the heavy weight in the beginning. The trainers start them low and then they build it up as they go along. So anyone who is about anything knows that it's not going to come easy, because there are too many people who sit around looking for microwave result. And that's not what success is all about. And you know, John, I am so thankful that God has allowed me to show the true purpose that he wants me to do this Blog Talk Radio. Because when I started back in March, I was serving everybody. And then God showed me, no, I need you to focus on entrepreneurs and small business people, because they need the education, the inspiration and the empowerment to do what I call them to do. So, you know, I'm thankful with people like yourself who come on and share your story so that we can all understand that we are not the only ones who is meeting up on hard times.
Well,
okay.
You know, it's interesting you said, because something that, and I've got to refer this, because you said the easier it comes, the easier it can go. I mean, what's ironic is if I look at the journey I have now and what I've built up, what I've been able to through God's direction, I've been able to build up and succeed. And it's an ongoing journey of learning and continuing, based upon what had happened previously. In terms of the success, it seems that previously the success was just so easy. You know, it was like it came about. Yes, I had worries and all kinds of things that motivated me, and I certainly worked hard. Mm-hmm. But on this side of the experience, there's an appreciation for the greater meaning beyond the success itself. In other words, the success is not the goal. Mm-hmm. It's a byproduct.
That's
of the
right.
Change in attitude.
That's right. That's right. Because, you know, you look on globally, look how many people you are now impacting. Back then, I'm sure you didn't have time for that. I mean, please, those people are where they are. That's their business. Now God is showing you, I have a broader scope for you to focus on. And, you know, I can tell you, John, I just know how rewarding this is, because when I get an email from somebody who listens to this show and they are sharing with me what it is doing for them, their families or friends, I'm sure if they had handed me a check for $1 million, I would not feel as good, because I would think, all right, let me go spend it to do this and do that. But each time I go back and I read what someone took the time to write to me, I said, thank you, God, for using me to make a difference in their lives. Okay, so let us go into, speak about some of your blogs that you write. Let us talk about the focus of your blogs.
Sure. Well, you know, what's interesting, and in the first blog, and it was already the foundations for this direction was already laid before the massive collapse that I talked about previously in May 2007. And to tell you that if I had envisioned all this when I started that first blog, you know, again, I had no idea what it would come to. But in May 2007, because I had done a little bit of writing in the previous year, 6 months leading up to that, and again, hadn't written anything beforehand, I was writing for a number of magazines, columns, and things along that line. It was suggested, why don't you do a blog? Because instead of dealing with different editors and different deadlines, if you create a blog, you can put everything there as a central repository, and then the magazines can come and they can pick up what they like or don't like. And so it was originally the first blog, which is the Procurement Insights blog. That's an area of specialty, one of the areas of specialty that I originally had, supply chain logistics. I started that up in May 2007. By August 2008, the blog's monthly syndicated readership worldwide exceeded 300,000. And so that blog, now today, Procurement Insights is the number one sponsored blog in its industry sector in terms of the number of sponsors, and its reach is growing exponentially. Mm-hmm. Now, this was in August 2008. In March 2009, I came across, by sheer fluke, Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, without we talked about age and not dating ourselves kind of thing, I remember radio and have great fond memories when I was growing up of the monolithic piece of furniture in the family living room that my dad would fire up on a Saturday, and the tubes would crackle, and you'd get that sense of an or smell of electric fire as everything sort of started firing, and enjoying just sitting with the family and listening to the latest hockey game or sports event. And so Blog Talk Radio was interesting because it was internet-based. So I looked at it and thought, what a great way to add a dimension to the Procurement Insights blog. In other words, take what I wrote and put it in life in the format of a show where I would each week interview people from the industry. And that's how it started on March 26, 2009. What's
John,
interesting.
John, I have a question
yes.
for you. Please, I don't want you to lose your train of thought, but I want to ask this question for this person. How do you get your blog exposure in terms of niches?
If I understand the question correctly, what's being asked is how do you distinguish your blog in terms of your expertise or brand that makes it stand out? Is that what you're asking?
Let me read exactly what the person says. How do you get your blog exposure in terms of niches? How do you identify the niche that you should gear your blog to?
Okay.
I think that's what the person is asking. If that's yes, that's what he's asking. He says yes.
If that's what it is, the starting point is what is your passion? What is the thing that most interests you? What are the topics and subjects that compel you? And the reason I say this as the starting point is, look, anybody can write to a certain degree. Anyone can post facts on a blog or information on a blog. But if we write about those things with which we are most interested and most passionate about, and when you put pen to paper or keyboard to monitor, what people are getting is your unique view of the world. Let's face it, there is only, and we talk about personal branding all the time, but there's only mm-hmm. one individual who has that perception mm-hmm. in the same way that you do. And mm-hmm. what draws readership is not, again, a recounting of information and facts that is readily out there, but the manner in which you deliver your perception, the manner in which you challenge them to think outside of the framework with which they're usually most comfortable. And so what is your passion? What drives you? What subjects are the most interesting? And once you determine that, you've got a good starting point to create a personal brand that mm-hmm. nobody else can provide, because mm-hmm. there's not another you out there.
That's
and
right.
that opens up the door to other opportunities. And mm-hmm. you know, just to expand, I mean, I started out with the logistics blog. I have a second blog called the PI Window on Business. I have passion about a number of things, and I write about, again, healthcare issues, economic conditions, mm-hmm. branding practices. All of these mm-hmm. factors come in, and what this does is you don't have just one passion. You can have multiple passions. Well, that blog is your venue to communicate with the world and share with the world how you see things. And mm-hmm. if you do that, your niche becomes your perception that is valued by your readership.
Okay. All right.
Does that answer the question?
I just asked him. I'm waiting on him to type back to tell me whether or not it answered his question. So, because in other words, it is like earlier on in the first segment, we were talking about telling our stories. So, you as the blogger create the niche, because in each of our stories, other people can other people can relate to that.
That's exactly right. Remember what you talked about in the earlier part, Daphne, about not waiting for people's approval or getting off track because you have naysayers?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, when you write about a blog, you don't write so much in terms of that information. What you do is you say, this is my personal take on things. And when you're writing about something that you are passionate, usually people are very comfortable and confident in that. If you were to ask somebody who's never gone to a football game to write an article about football, they wouldn't necessarily do very well. And if they did, it would be factual and there wouldn't be any originality in it. But if you ask them to write about something for which they do have a passion, well, you know, it's kind of interesting. In what we write about, our hobbies, our interests, not even our vocation, but those things that interest us. If you write about it, it's amazing how many people have such in-depth knowledge that they haven't tapped into because, number one, they don't believe that they have a perspective or an opinion that matters. Well, social networking and social media and the advent of citizen journalism is that ability to do that. It's that everybody has an opinion,
John,
it gives you the vehicle to hear it.
John, we have a caller, thanks the Lord, so we're going to take the caller. Caller, good morning. You're on the air. Would you state your name and where you're calling from along with your question, please?
Yes, good morning, Daphne. This is a DA, and I'd like to say good morning to John as well.
Good morning, Brother D.A. John, this is our colleague, D.A. Williams from WDKK Radio.
Well, good morning, D.A. How are you today?
I am doing great, and I was the one that posed the question a little earlier, and for some reason my player started buffering, so I didn't even hear the answer. But what I was asking, well, first, I wanted to say also that I've listened to your show. You have very, very great information, and I've also follow your content on your blog, and I get a lot out of it. I really do.
Well, thank you. I'm glad.
Okay, the question that I was asking about niches, and you nailed it on the head when you rephrased it, because what I'm looking for is how do I distinguish my blog based on the information that I'm sharing from the tons of other blogs that are sharing that same information. I know the niche, I know my passion, but how do I get the exposure on the blog?
Oh, in other words, you're writing something and it's solid, it's great, it does it. Well, there's a couple of technical steps and a couple of side things that you can do to support that.
Okay.
Number one, you have to, on a blog, make at least 3 to 4 posts every week.
Okay.
Without fail. You know, sometimes the biggest mistake or challenge bloggers have is that they may write 1 or 2 and they become streak contributors. And what happens is if you're not doing 3 or 4 posts per week, there's a couple of things that come in. The readers who do come and like what they see, if they come back the next day or 2 days down the road and there's been no change on the blog, after 1 or 2 times they'll go elsewhere.
Okay.
So that's number one, the frequency by which you contribute to that. Number two, the manner in which you incorporate your blogs into social networks. There's LinkedIn, there's Ecademy, there's Facebook. Well, you know, there's groups within these entities. And so what you want to be able to do is join those groups around what your blog is centered, and then not only offer input on questions and answers, it's called conversational marketing, but also when you have a new blog post, submit it as a news bit in terms of your URL and write why you think that this is a great thing to share and ask for feedback. And so when you
okay.
do that across all of the social networks, what ultimately begins to happen is that people start reading your questions. They start saying, hey, I'm familiar with this individual. I want to know more about it, and here's another link. And so you'll start drawing them through the social networking venue. The third
okay.
area is to get a hold of organizations such as Evan Carmichael. Now, Evan Carmichael is one of the top business websites in the Internet. And I interviewed him actually in August. And one of the key things there is they have several categories, from small business to big business to finance, and they always look for contributing authors. And what you do
okay.
is the blog posts you do, you share on those sites as well. He has about 500,000 to 600,000 visitors every month. You share
okay.
on those things, and what happens is that they read your articles through there, and then they provide the links through your profile back to your website. And so what you're
right.
really looking at is again, spreading it out through different venues so that you can reach your audience, but becoming involved in the community, not just being in the community. Do you know what I'm
right.
saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And so those are areas that if you do those things, then you'll start getting the domino effect, because the more frequently you write, the more presence you have, the more you get picked up in the search engine. You know, it's interesting. People talk about SEO and the importance of search engine optimization, which is by and large, believe it or not, a myth. If you go to any major search engine right now, type in Google or Yahoo, and you type in PI Window on Business, or you type in Procurement Insights or John Hansen, I'm always the first and occupy the first 7 spaces or links
okay.
that come up on the page. I didn't pay for that. I didn't optimize anything on that. What it was is through mm-hmm. involvement. And the more involved you are in your community, the more you get picked up. The more you get picked
mm-hmm.
up, the more the opportunities come in. Does that help?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it does.
Oh,
yeah, it really does.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, DA, for calling in.
Okay,
and
thank you for the opportunity. And I'll be listening into the rest of the show.
Thank you so
much.
Oh,
and by the way, sorry, DA, before you go, one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to drop by your site, because on my blog and cross-sharing, I have a place called Other BTR Shows of Note. And what I'll
right.
do is I'll put in the permanent index your show with a link, and once a week I feature a different BTR show. which includes a profile on our main page, as well as I read a blurb about your show at the beginning of every broadcast for that particular week in which you're featured.
Oh, great, great. That sounds great. I appreciate that.
I'll get the word out there, and we're all part of the same community, so when we all do well individually, we all do well collectively, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
DA.
Yes.
Please send the check Federal Express. Don't put it in regular UPS mail.
Okay, will do. Okay, I'm going to be enjoying the rest of the show. Thank you both.
Love you, my brother.
Okay,
yes.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Bye, John.
Bye-bye. Okay. Thank you, John, for that. That was powerful because you know something? I have to get up to speed with the blogging thing. I need help doing all of that. But what you said about the Google, man, I tell you something. When you type my name in Google, John, I think the first 13 or something spots or 17 or something, I control those and I say, yes, that is good. I love it. I love it, you know. My Twitter... Go ahead.
And that's a reflection, Daphne, of your involvement in the community and the world around you,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Yes. Yes. I tell you, I have over 14,000 followers on Twitter. And I say I have to find something so I can monetize it now because all I do, I tweet motivational stuff. I've been on Twitter over a year. And all I have concentrated on, John, was adding value to the people. And I said, now I need to find a way where I can harness them more into all the other things that I'm doing. So,
But there's that selflessness that comes into the equation. You know, a lot of people look at this and they say, and this goes back to where I was in the corporate world beforehand, before the shift that happened, if you will, in thought. But you used to have information, and you'd use it for your own advantage, but you'd be afraid to share it for giving somebody else the ability. What you realize is that the real power comes from sharing the information. The real power comes from helping other people become successful.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a domino effect that happens on there, and it's really kind of an exciting scenario. And all these things,
yes.
and all these inroads, it's great because it makes everyone or helps everyone reach a level of success.
That's right. That's right. Because, you know, who knows, if 2 years ago, if I had a conversation, I did traditional radio. And I tell you something, I was on there maybe for 18 months doing traditional radio. And over that period, John, I don't think I had 30 call-ins. You know, people would see me and they said they enjoy the show, but people don't want to call in because they say, well, oh, I don't want to hear my voice over the air and all kind of excuse. And it was a blessing. It has been a blessing for me to be able to be on Blog Talk Radio because here I am. It is like your next door and we are helping to add value to my listenership. You know, Jennifer was in Rochester. I've had guests from Scotland on. So my playground is the globe. Wherever I can find an expert that fits into my focus, I can utilize them and have them on here to add value to my listenership. So I'm so excited. We cannot be selfish. As the sooner that we realize it is not about us, but it is for the greater good of the people we serve, the easier our journey and easy and more comfortable our journey is going to be.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because, I mean, and I just posted a link to everyone out there in terms of some of the other areas in my book, Your Show Will Go Live, but I never thought I'd ever write a book, let alone two books.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's interesting about the whole journey of writing is that, and this goes back to what we talked about earlier, I would have never in a million years have hosted a radio show. I would have never written a book. If that hadn't happened, what seems like a long time ago, but isn't that long ago in terms of the directional change. And I think what really comes about here is again, when you have that kind of thing happen, it changes your perspective to one of thankfulness and humility rather than entitlement and expectation. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And this is why a lot of entrepreneurs hinder their progress, because they sit around and they think that, you know, society owes them. No, we owe it to them to make a difference. Like I think was 2 weeks ago, I tweeted that people should stop running after the money. Instead, run after your purpose and vision, and then the money will chase you down. But a lot of times people have it the back way, where it's the money and gimme, 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 instead of focus on adding value. Well, we have 20 minutes remaining in this segment. Your show will go live in 5 seconds. I love that title. How did the title come about?
Well, you know, and I'm sure the DA and yourself will appreciate this, but with 5 seconds, there's the proper English lady, as she's been referred to on Blog Talk Radio. Every host hears the word, with 5 seconds before you go live, your show will go live in 5 seconds. And it sort of stuck with me, because every time I'm going into the show, there's that quiet time ramping up. You know, I say a few prayers and ask that, you know, God gives me the words that I need to add value to the broadcast and the people who are listening. And so when I heard that, I thought, what a great way of saying it. Is, you know, your show will go live in 5 seconds. And then I did Confessions of a Blog Talk Radio Host, because, it's talking about the real meaning behind what's going on, how you get there, some of the things I've learned, some of the things that I've experienced. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that hopefully through the book itself, it may have taken me 6 or 9 months, hopefully through the book itself, it can cut down the reader's time to 1 or 2 months or even less than that. And that, I mean, that's the whole idea of when you go into a new medium, is that if you blaze a trail somewhere, or if you're going in a direction that can save time, you want to be able to put those signposts along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then have the individuals reading it add their own perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the book came, is your show's going to go live in 5 seconds. There's a great medium out there that you can communicate. And I talked about it earlier, and you know, your history or background in traditional radio, mm-hmm. is there's a major shift in the medium media going on, where
that's
there's
right.
the advent of the citizen journalist, where we all become our own filters, where
mm-hmm.
we all become one-to-one interconnecting. And, you know, and not to bore with statistics, but, you know, it's kind of interesting. If you look at newspapers, J. William Grimes, who is a longtime media industry veteran, you know, he's near the foundation of ESPN in 1981, indicated the daily newspapers would be gone
mm-hmm.
within the next 5 years. And he did that prediction in July, and he cited a couple of factors, such as declining ad revenues, and plus the fact that only 5% of the population actually still read newspapers. You
mm-hmm.
look at local television, the stations, local stations are closing at a great speed. And so what's happening in the marketplace is, as the internet comes forward, we become our own, what you call, filters of information through this
mm-hmm.
this relationships that we build in the various communities, if you will, of purpose, such as Blog
mm-hmm.
Talk Radio. So
mm-hmm.
it's given us all an ability to have a voice, to share our insights, to share our passion. And then if there's value in that, people listening will then take it to their communities of purpose.
That's right.
And that's ultimately
right.
what's really happening. And what's exciting about Blog Talk Radio is the opportunity and the unlimited potential that it affords
mm-hmm.
in terms of being able to connect with people in a very real way that then meets them to where they're at. Just like a blog
mm-hmm.
reaches out to different people, or the two internet TV channels were just in the process of launching,
mm-hmm.
visually reach out to people. So
mm-hmm.
that's what's really exciting about this whole medium.
And I haven't read the book yet, because Miss Jennifer promised she was going to send it to me, and I never got it, but I know now I'll get an autographed copy, because I know the author, so I'll just wait patiently for it.
Well, you know what? I'll get that out into the mail to you today.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And book number 2, when is it due and what is it called?
Okay, well, you know, it's kind of ironic, the timing of things. I had just literally finished the last sentence on the first book, and I was contacted to write a book about a social network called SOACT. And SOACT is a community who focuses on making positive social contribution and change, very much along the theme of what we're talking about today. So, for example, we're all very much aware of and following deeply the crisis in Haiti. SOACT has become a central point of communication for people who want to be kept up to date and contribute to the Haiti cause. They have other things dealing in areas such as natural health issues. They have things dealing with spiritual issues. All of these things, the whole idea of the SOACT community is that it brings people together to communicate, share ideas, and through that become empowered and mobilized so that they can actually have a tangible impact on the world around them. And so I started to write the book in November, right after releasing So Your Show Will Go Live, and it is now available just this past week in ebook version. The hard copy or paperback book will be available in February through Lulu, and then in March, available through Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. And it's a phenomenal story because it looks at the world of social networking, social media, and it talks about, well, what is the balance? What makes things successful? For example, you know, we talked about Twitter. Twitter, recent statistics show that 60% of the people who join Twitter stop using it within 30 days.
John, would you hold your thought? We have a caller, and we want to hear from the caller. Caller, good morning. Your last four digits are 0906. Please state your name and where you're calling from, and your question, please.
Hi, Daphne. It's Jennifer.
Jennifer, and welcome again. Do you have a question, or are you just listening?
I'm listening, and I just wanted to reiterate the power of John's work in helping people with really good intentions galvanize.
Yes, thank you. John, that was Jennifer, our first guest that was on.
Thank you, Jennifer. I really enjoyed listening to your first segment. We must talk.
I'm having trouble getting on chat, and so finally I'm like, I'm just going to call.
Thank you.
So I'm really excited about the next comments about Twitter. So I thank you, John.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, John, we have 13 minutes remaining here. So let's continue, please, about what you were saying about Twitter.
Well, you know what's interesting is Twitter and most social networks are struggling right now because they don't have a viable business model, and they've grown almost by accident. There was no discernible plan when it was launched. In fact, I had the privilege of interviewing Shel Israel, author of Twitterville, which is a great book, and had him on the show twice, and talking about, you know, the influence of Twitter. But what's funny is that they've almost grown these communities outside of themselves. There wasn't an actual game plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
Subsequently, what's happened is that there's unrecognized potential as to what can these do? How can you leverage this technology? So how can you leverage social networking from the
mm-hmm.
side of the business themselves, because mm-hmm. many are losing money, but from the
mm-hmm.
side of practical engagement where you have ongoing participation. I mean, I just responded to a question this morning from the UK about,
mm-hmm.
well, is joining more important? I said, I would say joining is not as important as participating. And so
exactly.
what are these communities doing to get mm-hmm. you to participate? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's the company you keep. It's who's there. And if you join a network, you can become an absent profile, as I call it, very, very quickly. You can
mm-hmm.
be in 8 or 9 different networks, but are you involved in those networks? And as I said
mm-hmm.
to DA, from the purpose of gaining a niche, well, when it comes down to affecting positive social change, and this is what was so compelling about SOACT, when it comes down to affecting positive social change, what are the conversational mechanisms that engage you and hold you and make
mm-hmm.
you want to be able to contribute to that community? Because the more you participate, the greater the value you give and the greater the value you get from it. And so
yes,
the biggest challenge
so
that
true.
Most
mm-hmm.
the biggest challenge, that's right, and the biggest challenge most organizations have is that, and even individuals, is that they're still in what I call broadcast mode. And
mm-hmm.
David Cushman of the UK talked about traditionally you'd have many people looking at a stage in terms of engaging, where you'd have an information source and everybody going there. Now what's happening in these communities of purpose, you have individuals looking at each other. We're becoming our own filter of information. And so
mm-hmm.
what's important in recognizing that, it's not just getting there and standing up on a soapbox and talking about who you are and what you do, but it's finding out, well, what are the interests in the community and how does that align with my interests? And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, you look at the Twitter who has that 60% drop off, and the numbers are showing that the amount of visits are also declining. They're not growing at that phenomenal 1,382% growth rate. So what's happening now is there's a settling where you're starting to see more and more individual. There's going to be further fragmentation in the social networking world, but you're going to get more and more of these communities of persons where organizations are going to bring together like-minded people with similar ideas and values who are going to share the ideas and then through the platforms are going to be able to actually do something with it. And going back to your question, Daphne, is what made SOACT unique is that they built the platform on the basis of stimulating conversation. So you can have multiple conversations real time with an unlimited number of parties during a discussion. While you're in the conversational screen, you can actually put in a video. You can actually put in a reference paper that's accessible by everyone involved with the conversation. And you then build an audit trail, if you will, so that you have a reference point. And that's the basis for really effective engagement. It's not a one-dimensional type of engagement. So that's where it's going. So I'm on Twitter. I'm, you know, in there, and I certainly don't have the following that you have. I'm just hitting the 7,000 mark.
I'm
but
special.
Well, that's right. I use Twitter to communicate when a show is coming on or to respond or to provide some information saying, here's a recent post, here's some interesting ideas on that front. So it's very much what you call a quick bite engagement mechanism.
Right.
But
the biggest
areas that you're going to see in social networks is that they've got to leave from the realms of this static membership numbers being the most important to being communities that facilitate and stimulate discussion and engagement. And if it does that, you move from a join mentality to a participation mentality.
Right. Because you know something, my following started growing when I made sure every day I tweet. And before that, I did not understand the importance, I did not focus on the importance of the participation, as you said. I was tweeting like maybe once a month or something. And then I figured, no, I need the visibility. And I now have a tweet every day. Sometimes there are tweets that I get that I think deserve retweeting. And then I would do that. And then my following just started growing. I mean, this is good stuff, John. We only have 8 minutes remaining. I want you to please give out your contact information and then just give, depending on the amount of time we have, a matter of fact, we only have 8 minutes. I want you to please give your contact information and then take 3 minutes for your summary thought and then give me 3 minutes for closing.
Okay. Well, one thing, if I could, just to add on this before I get into my contact information, Daphne, you said something that's important about the consistency of tweeting. There is a multi-pronged approach you have to take. Blogging, blog talk radio, and the social networks have to all be done simultaneously and consistently with one another.
Okay.
That's really the key part of it. You do blog posts 3 or 4. You get, as I mentioned to DA, about getting the links into the various groups and communities of interest or purpose where you post it and you respond to questions. You make a contribution. And Twitter, and when that collective, if you will, comes together of consistency, that's when you start seeing the traction really gain. Because all of a sudden now, they're popping up everywhere. So that's what I do.
I link my stuff. So once I put something on Twitter, I go, it is everywhere. But I have
to
learn. My blog stuff is what I need help with. So I'm a work in progress, but I'm still proud of myself for where I have gotten so far. So,
well, you know what? We're all a work in progress. Now, for me, contact coordinates, and I mentioned this before, is all you have to do is go into Yahoo or Google or any search engine, type in PI window on business. Type that in, automatically the blog and the radio show with all my contact coordination coordinates will pop up there. So you have immediate access. You can also type in procurement insights, and that will come up first. And of course, you can type in John Hansen, and I'm in the first 3 or 4 on that one. But the best way to really reach me is just go to any search engine, type in PI window on business, and I'm there.
Yeah, please type it in the chat room because you are still in there. So please go ahead and type that. Now you have 3 minutes to give us a closing statement.
Okay. Well, I guess if I were to sum up, and I just enjoyed talking with you because it gets me back. Well, you know, it gets back to the root of what we're talking about. The key thing here is simply this. Whatever your endeavor is, whatever your passion might be, that is your unique brand and your unique fingerprint on the world. And it is valuable. People do want to hear what other people have to say. And what social networking and social media has done is it has leveled the playing field that mm-hmm. gives you the ability to connect with other people one at a time and then mm-hmm. collectively. So look
That's
at
right.
your look at what you have to say. Have confidence in the value of what you bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it to the table and present the ideas. It doesn't mean you're always going to get people agreeing with what you write,
no.
but that's a beautiful part of it as well, isn't it, Daphne?
That's
because
right.
that creates
the
dialogue.
Everybody's not the client. That's right. Everybody's not our client, you know?
That's absolutely right. But I think if I were to say the number one rule in all of this,
mm-hmm.
don't go into social networking or social media or anything that you're doing with an attitude of what can I get out of it. Go into
what
it with
can
an
I
attitude,
give?
What can I give, and
that's
how
right.
can I serve the greater interest of the community with
That's
which
right.
I choose to be a part of
That's
and
right.
which I'm privileged to belong to. That's
Thank
really
you.
The number one rule. Once you start off there, then all things start to form and your whole
That's
mindset
right.
and everything you do is based on that.
That's right. That's right. We have to focus on concentrate on adding value because once you begin to add value, 3/4 of the work is done. You know?
That's
John, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That would be the exclamation point to what I just thought it's been a great hour with you, Daphne.
Yes. Thank you so much. I look forward to us getting into conversation again. And if there's any way you can make it to the conference in May, we would love to spend quality time with you. And we just look forward for this conference growing and for everybody helping me to get the word out again. It is May. This is through the 9th, and it's going to be at the Heritage Southbury. You can just check it out, the hotel, at www.heritagesouthbury. Southbury is spelled Southbury. com, and you can see the hotel there. And the conference is on Eventbrite.com. You look for the Vision Conference, and we'll have the website up soon. I'm just waiting to finalize some things. John, it was an amazing blessing to spend time in conversation with you, and congratulations on the new baby coming. And I look forward to getting into conversation with you again. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Daphne, and thank you, everyone who's tuned in.
And for you, my listeners, I just want to thank you for coming again. I want to encourage you not to settle for mediocrity because you have the ability to create excellence. We are committed here at the A New Day Show to keep you educated, keep you inspired, and by all means, we will assist you in gaining the magnitude of empowerment that you need. This is Dynamic Daphne, the queen of the empowered soul, saying, stay close to your destiny.
What's the plight that you've called me to? the thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.